This is West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans. Environmental and conservation organizations in Michigan are asking the federal government to conduct a study to evaluate the risk of pipeline ruptures and leaks. Representatives of more than 30 groups signed the letter to the Pipeline and Hazardous Materials Safety Administration, also known as PHMSA. Jennifer McKay is policy specialist with the Tip of the Mitt Watershed Council based in Petoskey. Jennifer McKay, thank you for being with us.
Thank you for inviting me.
Let's tell our audience specifically, what do you want PHMSA, the Pipeline and Hazardous Materials Safety Administration, to look at in a study?
Really, what we're looking for is a water crossing study. So we want the federal government, who's responsible for pipeline safety issues in Michigan, to evaluate the integrity of pipelines that cross Michigan's rivers, streams, and lakes.
So anything which happens to, in other words, it's under a river, stream, or lake, you want them to take a look at that?
Yes. In on or under our water resources, obviously water is the state's most significant resource. I mean, we have the Great Lakes containing one-fifth of the world's surface freshwater, but we also are home to 11,000 inland lakes, 3,600 miles of rivers and streams, and 5.5 million acres of wetlands. So it's extremely important that we protect all of these water resources from some of the inherent risks that pipelines have.
How big a network of pipelines are we talking about here, and what sort of things, what sort of substances get moved through them?
Well, there's actually 2.6 million miles of fuel pipelines crisscrossing the entire United States. Here in Michigan, we have over 70,000 miles of pipeline. These carry everything from natural gas to power our home businesses to what are called hazardous liquids. The hazardous liquids are crude oil, petroleum products such as gasoline, diesel fuel, jet fuel, to things such as anhydrous ammonia and carbon dioxide. So we have a whole host of materials being transported out of sight and out of mind throughout Michigan.
And would you expect that such a study, if it's conducted, is the ultimate hope that there's an evaluation of whether more regulations, more safety standards, and those sort of things are needed?
Yeah, essentially we're looking to, one, develop a comprehensive map of pipelines, waterway crossings. We don't necessarily have that, and it's not easily accessible, as well as determine the status of all of the existing pipelines, evaluate the integrity and risk of leaks, and then that will help outline what we need to do to prevent future pipeline failures, whether that's actually having the company actively mitigate or conduct remedial actions, whether that's looking at improving some regulations on the federal level, having the states take on some of the inspection and enforcement aspects. But to start out, we need to get a picture of where these crossings are, you know, how old are the pipelines, what are the risks we're facing.
People in this area are very familiar with problems with pipelines. A rupture in a pipeline in Marshall in 2010 caused a massive oil spill on the Kalamazoo River. And, of course, people outside of this area became very familiar with that as well. Did that bring the issue of pipeline safety onto people's radar in a way that perhaps it hadn't been there before?
Absolutely. We have significant aging infrastructure of our pipelines, but again, they've been operating out of sight and out of mind for so many years. With more recent large-scale incidences, including the one in Kalamazoo, there's been a lot more concern that's been expressed by the public. Environmental and conservation organizations are starting to look into this matter more. We're seeing the state and our members of Congress get involved on this issue, so it's certainly brought it to the forefront for us to consider.
Now, as you've noted, these pipelines have operated largely out of sight and out of mind, but your news release also notes that if you go through the PHMSA reports, you'll find there were 116 reported incidents on pipelines in Michigan between 2004 and 2013. Does that tell us that a lot of these were much smaller than what happened on the Kalamazoo River and therefore perhaps didn't attract a lot of public attention?
Yes. That's over, you know, the course of the last decade, really. But the Kalamazoo River spill was one of the largest inland waterway spills in the entire country, and obviously garnered significant attention due to the fact that it was such a large spill. It's taken such a long time for it to be cleaned up. It's still underway, and it was extremely expensive. But we've had spills throughout the state, a number of them, that people just necessarily haven't paid attention to because they're smaller. We've had a large one up in the Upper Peninsula, which seemed to go under the radar.
But should that sheer number, 116, it's over a 10-year period, but should that still bother us? I guess, you know, it's an average of more than 10 a year. Should that be concerning, just the sheer number of pipeline incidents?
The number, it should be concerning, as well as, you know, what happens in the result of pipeline failures. It typically results in contamination of our surface and ground and drinking water supplies. We see death, disease of fish, aquatic insects, birds, and other wildlife. You know, depending on the extent of the spill, some of these, you know, impacts are less than others, but ultimately oil can linger in the environment for many years, even after a cleanup. And so it continues to affect the fish, wildlife, and humans. Not to mention, you know, the economic impact of an oil spill to our state that relies upon a lot of tourism and water-based recreational activities.
There were new safety regulations for pipelines approved by Congress after that oil spill on the Kalamazoo River. Have those improved the safety of pipelines, or do we know the answer to that yet?
A lot of those are still being evaluated. What Congress did was pass some laws that said, look into X, Y, and Z for a lot of things, such as do we need remote-controlled or automatic shutoff valves to be installed. And so what we've seen since then is the federal regulatory agency evaluating that to put out reports on if, in fact, we need to do that. So we still have some ways to go to increase protections via those measures in Congress. But everything is a step in the right direction.
There is a multi-agency task force which has been created in Michigan to study pipeline safety. Could some of these things be handled at the state level as well?
Well, Michigan actually has no authority on what are called hazardous liquid pipelines, which are the ones that carry the petroleum products and the crude oil. That authority lies solely with the federal government, the Pipeline and Hazardous Material Safety Administration. So it's great that the state of Michigan has created a task force and will start to evaluate pipeline safety, but they really need to work collaboratively with the federal government, who is ultimately responsible for safety of pipelines in Michigan, at least the petroleum pipeline.
So in other words, the state's role here would be more informational and discovery rather than, say, some sort of legislation or statute, anything like that.
At this point in time, the state of Michigan actually could choose to become involved in the regulation of pipeline safety for crude oil pipelines. That would require an act of the legislature. They would have to give the state agency the authority to regulate that. Currently, we do not have that authority, but it's certainly something that the state in their evaluation might decide is something that is worthwhile for us to pursue.
You noted that this issue has grown after the Kalamazoo River oil spill, but there are some other spills which have happened. There's some other controversies going on with pipelines being proposed and constructed. Has this grown in a way that it's become at least a statewide issue and maybe even beyond the borders of Michigan?
Absolutely. Again, our sign-on letter, we had, you know, over 30 environmental and conservation organizations. Like I said, the state's becoming involved. Members of Congress are becoming involved. And that's not just necessarily for Michigan. That's happening with other proposals as our demand for oil increases. And subsequently, we need to have the infrastructure to get those products from one place to another.
There's also, of course, the ongoing discussion of the Keystone XL pipeline. Does this tie in a way that if such a pipeline is going to be built, and of course there's a big controversy about whether it should, but if it's going to, or if other future pipelines are going to be built, do there have to be some standards of safety, especially if they're going to be coming anywhere near our backyard that in Michigan that we're going to be concerned about.
Yes, and you know, the federal government is responsible for putting forth the rules and regulations on what those standards are, but they're also fairly limited with respect to what they have the authority to do, as well as staffing. There's only, I think, 185 inspectors across the country for that 2.6 million miles of fuel pipelines. So this is where potentially the state should get involved. And, you know, if we can fund an agency and provide more staff to conduct more inspections, improve the oversight process, we'd likely see greater protections of our water resources and other natural resources throughout the state.
Jennifer, give us an idea of what some of the next steps may be. This study's been requested. What follows from that for your group and the others involved?
Well, the study has been requested by the environmental and conservation organizations. It's also been requested by some of the tribes within Michigan, specifically the Little Traverse Bay Bands of Odawa Indians, as well as the Chippewa and Ottawa Resource Authority, which actually represents five tribes in Michigan. So the federal government is going to be receiving numerous requests for this study, and we're going to have to wait to see what their response is, if they have the resources to do it. Ideally, they could coordinate with the task force that has been created for the state, and maybe the state can assist. But really, for this request, you know, it's been made, more requests have been made, and we're just going to have to wait and see what type of response we can get from the agency.
Just to go back for a moment to what we talked about with states regulating this themselves, Inside Climate News had reported about New Hampshire and Minnesota imposing some new regulations on pipelines as well as rail transport. Is this an area that, again, to go back to what we were talking about, Michigan could wade into if it wanted to, but it would require some additional action that hasn't been taken to date?
Right. So actually, Michigan does have authority for inspections and enforcement of our natural gas pipelines, and we could take on that role with the petroleum and hazardous liquid pipelines as well. It's just something we have chosen not to do at this point in time. Again, as we see more infrastructure, potentially, hopefully not, but, you know, as we evaluate the risks and see some of the potential threats, this is where the state could, like other states, step in and take a larger role.
Without this study having been done yet, do we have any other evidence out there that pipeline safety is any better, any worse, where it was at when, say, the pipeline ruptured in Marshall in 2010? Has anyone else attempted to look at that independently?
The federal government keeps track of reportable incidences and, you know, what causes those incidences. And there has been a decrease in failures on natural gas pipelines due to excavation, which is primarily because there's been a very large push on education and the 811, which is a call before you dig program, to try and encourage people to get the pipelines and other utilities identified before you start digging to avoid that potential rupture. We have seen, however, an uptick in incidences on the hazardous liquid, the petroleum and crude oil pipelines, in recent years. I'm not really sure why that is, if there's something that needs to be done to address that, or if it just, you know, is a blip in the data, or if it's an actual trend that we're seeing. So the federal government does track it, but I'm not sure we've actually come up with a conclusion as to why we've seen that uptick in failures recently.
And I wonder, how important is it to know the causes in order to prevent perhaps the next spill, you know, knowing if it was human error, if it was excavation where a couple of different agencies didn't talk to each other? Does that become maybe as important as determining, you know, strength and structure of pipelines when there is a spill? How did it happen and how can it be prevented from happening next time?
Absolutely. It's extremely important, which is why you normally see the National Transportation Safety Board step in and do investigations of these large incidences to basically evaluate some of the reasons behind the failure. With Kalamazoo, we saw some very strong institutional failures with lack of training, lack of public awareness, problems with their integrity management, so how they were monitoring and fixing repairs of the pipeline. And that has been used by Enbridge, the company that owns that line. They've modified a lot of those practices because of what happened in Kalamazoo. They don't want that to repeat that on the rest of their pipeline system in Canada and the United States, including Northern Michigan, where I'm based. But the federal government also put out a bulletin to all pipeline operators, sort of a lessons learned from Marshall, that then other pipeline operators can say, we need to make sure we don't make the same mistakes. So the evaluations of what the cause was and what happened and what went wrong is extremely important as we move forward in ensuring pipeline safety.
Jennifer McKay, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you very much.
Jennifer McKay is policy specialist with the Tip of the Mitt Watershed Council based in Petoskey. This is West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans.